Southeastern Baptist Seminary Chapel Service, Thursday, April the 14th, 1988. Our speaker today is Dr. B. Elmo Scoggin, Emeritus Professor of Hebrew and Old Testament, and Visiting Professor of Old Testament.
Will you please stand for the call to worship and remain standing through the hymn and the prayer? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become as white as wool, as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become as white as clean wool. O God, our help in ages past and our hope for all the ages yet to come, we worship thee today in this somber moment, remembering those millions of victims of man's inhumanity to man. Grant us the grace and strength, in some measure at least, to begin to redeem the memory of these countless innocent millions who were sacrificed on the altar of greed and ambition. And grant that we may build in our own lives and in our faith communities a kind of community in which a like horror can never recur. Guide us in this time of worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Forgetfulness leads to exile. Remembrance is the secret of redemption. 50 years ago this year, 1938, the gathering storms and furies of anti-Semitism in Germany came to a climax in the now infamous Kristallnacht, when all of the Jewish shops and synagogues of Germany and many of the Jewish homes were broken and vandalized in an orgy of hate and unbridled violence. It may have seemed then only symptomatic of a lingering social malignancy, but it was actually the unleashing of the legions of hell, hell itself, against the hopeless and defenseless remnant of Israel, the chosen of God, who had decided long ago that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Frederick W. Robertson said, "The greatest of tragedies is a wasted tragedy." Somehow or other, creative, redemptive men and women of God must find ways to redeem the tragedies of history. How shall we redeem the tragedy of the Holocaust, which in my judgment is the greatest single human evil ever perpetrated? How shall we redeem it? Well, if remembrance is a secret of redemption, we can begin this redemptive process, or continue it if indeed we've been participating in it, by remembering our indebtedness to our ancient Hebrew religious forefathers, the people called Jews in today's world. I'm going to suggest to you briefly and simply this morning one of the ways, or a possible way, in which we can keep this redemptive process in motion. I propose to you that we need to think again of our indebtedness to the people of Israel. Israel was that little people which became the first people to hear this continuing entreaty of God, "Et mi eshlach umi yelech lanu, whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And they became the people, little, insignificant, unpromising, not good, says the text. But they became that little people who were willing to say, "Hineni shelacheni, here I am, why don't you send me?" Now, it was at the same time the greatest blessing in history and perhaps the greatest curse. Because the Hebrews confronted the world for the first time. They confronted the human race with the obligation to look at the moral and ethical dimensions of life. What does it mean to live in this world? Well, I say I'm going to suggest to you that we can begin to pay our indebtedness to our Hebrew religious forefathers by a special kind of remembrance. And I suggest that we remember five things. Because the Jews confronted the world with this ethical and moral necessity, and the world couldn't stand it, and the world cannot stand it, then it became, the situation developed where anti-Semitism became a real part of human society. And ever since, we've had it. Of course, it rose to its ugliest and most awful heights in Nazi Germany, but even in this country, it's only barely under the skin. It's still rampant. And even in this country, especially in the larger cities where there are large Jewish populations, we have desecration of Hebrew graves. We have desecration of synagogues. And those people who involve themselves deeply in Jewish-Christian affairs, and especially in the Holocaust affairs, very often find themselves the objects of hate campaigns and the victims of ugly incidents. So what shall we do? Well, I propose to you that we first remember that it was the Hebrews who gave us the concept of ethical monotheism. They taught us what it was to believe in one God, sui generis. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And he is alive, and in the words of G. Ernest Wright, he is the God who acts. And forevermore we shall have to live our lives in the light of that truth, that God alone and only, creator, sustainer, and redeemer of the universe, is ethical and expects us to be ethical. It's a burden, but it's ours. I suggest to you in the second place that we owe an everlasting and eternal debt to our Hebrew forefathers because they gave us the concept of Sabbath, Shabbat. I wish you could live for a while in a totally Hebrew culture, as I have been privileged to do at least almost a third of the last 45 years of my life, and see what Sabbath really means. Not only is it a day of joy and a day of rest and a day of worship, but it's a day when the common denominator of humanity becomes a practical reality in the lives of the community. Everybody is the same on Shabbat, on Sabbath. And I hope maybe we can find is as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, that we can find new meaning for ourselves and for those who are ours to lead, a new meaning for the term Shabbat, Sabbath. We are indebted to our Hebrew religious forefathers for that wonderful, wonderful ideal. Our Hebrew forefathers also gave us Scripture. Torah. They left for us their sacred writings, written not only in on skin and scroll and clay tablet and stone, but in the language of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, written deep in the live heart tissue of mankind. And that Torah, that scripture, that teaching of God, was brought to us finally in the person of the Word become flesh, We also can honor the memory of these 6.5 million Jews and the other millions who died in the Holocaust by remembering that they are paying the price too for having given us the concept of suffering servant Savior. One has only to read the beautiful passages in Isaiah, Deutero-Isaiah 42, 49, 50, and 52, 13, 53, 12, to see what it means for this wholly new concept to enter the affairs of the human family. The idea of the suffering servant. And he became the paradigm for everyone who would follow the God of the Jews. Finally, we owe it to our Jewish forefathers, we owe a debt of gratitude for the fact that they actually gave us the Messiah. Though many of them do not accept Jesus as the long-promised and waited-for Jewish Messiah, some of them do, and we do. We believe that the Word become flesh in Jesus Christ is that appearance on earth in our form of that cosmic, eternal Savior of God who was and is the bond, the cement, the cohesive element that holds the whole of the order of things together, without whom was not anything made that was made, and by whom all things were made, and who was with God before the world was and before Abraham was, and who could say in his earthly appearance, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And he came and took on our form, our frame, our own fragile humanity, and showed us that though it was expensive, it comes at the price of one's life. It's possible for people on earth truly to be the servants of God. And that Word become flesh in Jesus Christ, the historical Christ, becomes again for us a paradigm, because he shows us, all of us, that when we find by the gifts of God the grace to be what we ought to be and what Marguerite Harmon Breaux calls more than we are, we then truly are the heirs of the promise, and we're joint heirs with Jesus of all of the promises of God. And all of this made possible, dear friends, because they went before us and they paved the way. And God bless the memory of all of our spiritual forefathers. And today, especially on this Yom HaShoah V'Hagavurah, day of infamy and of heroism, God grant that by remembering them, even in this little way, we might have furthered the process of their redemption and of ours. Let us stand for the benediction and remain standing for Hatikvah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, blessed art thou, O Lord God, King of all of the ages. Shemosana Mselanu Yom Vyom gives to us day by day et lachem achmenu, our daily bread, et hayenu, and our very lives themselves. We hold up before you Zikron Ahecha. We hold up before you the sacred memory of these thy people. We all await thy redemption in Jesus' name. Amen.